We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, texts 9 and 10, of which 9 was taken by His Grace Gaurang Prabhu. So we are, the 10th verse is on the board. Let us read it. मेधातिथि देवल अष्टिशेणो भारद्वाजो गौतम पिप्पलादः मैत्रेय और्वह कुशः कुम्भयोनी द्वयं पायनो मगवान् नारदश्च मेधातिथि देवल अष्टिवेशेणो भारद्वाजो गौतम पिप्पलादः मैत्रेय और्वह कवशः कुम्भयोनी द्वयं पायनो भगवान् नारदश्च मेधातिथि देवल अष्टिशेणो भारद्वाजो गौतम पिप्पलादः मैत्रेय औरः कवशः कुम्भयोनी द्वैपायनो भगवान् नारदश्च Anybody would like to recite? Medhatiti devala ashti cheno Bharadvajo gautama pippaladaha Maitreya aurvaha kosha kumbayoni द्वयं पायनो भगवान् नारदश्च मेघाति आविष्टनेनो भारद्वाजो गौतमः पिप्पलादः मैत्रेय औरः कवश कुम्भयोनि द्वयं पायनो भगवान् नारदश्च ट्रान्स्लेशन् एण्ड् पर्पट् बै डिवैन् ग्रेस् श्रील भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद् ट्रान्स्लेशन् From different parts of the universe, there arrived great sages like Atri, Chavana, Saradvana, Arishtanemi, Bhrugu, Vasishta, Parashara, Vishwamitra, Angira, Parushrama, Uthaya, Indra Pramada, Idhamavasu, Meditati, Devala, Arishta, Sena, Bharadvaja, Gautama, Pippalada, Maitreya, Aurva, Kavasha, Kumbhayoni, Dvayampayana, and the great personality Narada. Purport, more than half of it was covered by His Grace Gaurang Prabhu. I'll read the pertinent purport from here. Medhatiti, an old sage of yore, an assembly member of the heavenly king Indradev. His son was Karma Muni, who brought up Shakuntala in the forest. He was promoted to the heavenly planet by strictly following the principles of retired life, Vanaprastha. Devala, a great authority like Narada Muni and Vyasadev. His good name is on the list of authorities mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita when Arjuna acknowledged Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He met Maharaj Yudhishthira after battle of Kurukshetra. He was the elder brother of Dhaumya, the priest of Pandava family. Like the Kshatriyas, he also allowed his daughter to select her own husband in the Swayamvara meeting. And at that ceremony, all the bachelor sons of rishis were invited. According to some, he is not Ashita Devala. Bharadwaj, see Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.6. Gautama, one of the seven great sages of the universe, Saradvan Gautama was one of his sons. Persons in the Gautama Gotra dynasty today are either his family descendants or his disciplic succession. The Brahmanas who possess Gautama Gotra are generally family descendants, and the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas who profess Gautama Gotra are all in the line of his disciplic succession. He was the husband of the famous Ahalya, who turned into stone when Indradeva, the king of heaven, molested her. Ahalya was delivered by Lord Ramchandra. Gautama was the grandfather of Kripacharya, one of the heroes of Battle of Kurukshetra. Maitreya, a great rishi of yore, he was spiritual master of Vidura and a great religious authority. He advised Dhritarashtra to keep good relations with Pandavas. Duryodhan disagreed and thus was cursed by him. He met Vyasdev and had religious discourses with him. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tausajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So Hare Krishna, at the very outset, would like to welcome all of you for having come to the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing it, reading it is a highly purifying experience, and all of you are now participants in this particular venture. Now, we are reading about Parikshit Maharaj, and he is now on the bank of Ganga. Now, Parikshit Maharaj is emperor of the world, a great devotee of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Maharaj Parikshit is sitting down on the bank of Ganges, Ganga, determined to fast until death and give himself up to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He has seen the resplendent form of Supreme Lord Krishna while he was still in the womb of his mother Uttara, when Ashwatthama tried to kill him with Brahmastra. So at that time, the Supreme Lord manifested himself in the womb of Uttara and saved him from calamity. So now, cursed by Sringi, due to some misunderstanding, avoidable one, to die of snake bird, Takshaka's poisonous bite in 7 days, the emperor of the world, Parikshit Maharaj, has now, from an emperor, he has become a Kaupinadhari. He is wearing just a Kaupin and sitting on the bank of Ganges, waiting for the will of the Supreme Lord to manifest itself in a way that he doesn't yet know how it will happen. So, it is said that human life is journey from alone to the alone. It's a fact. We come into the world alone, and while living also we go alone. So it is always a journey from alone to the alone. So here also now, Parikshit Maharaj is on the bank of the Ganges, alone, waiting for things to happen. Of course, positively for him. So, but he is waiting for that. So, and when he is waiting, fortunately, he is not going to be alone for a long time, because all great personalities about whom we read just now, they are all arriving. They are all arriving there. They have come to the bank of the Ganges River, and these towering personalities, the sages of the universe, whose some of the names have been given by Srila Prabhupada, but there are many more. The entire Ganges River shore, the bank, was completely, you know, enveloped by these great, great personalities. So, great-minded sages, who could sense, these sages were coming from different corners of the universe, they could sense that something great was going to happen on the, and therefore they all have come there. Have they come there to purify themselves, you know, because they have come to Ganges, so they are going to get purified, and that is the reason why they have come. Srila Prabhupada, in another purport, writes beautifully, Srila Prabhupada says that actually they came to meet Maharaj Parikshit, the great Lord, the great devotee of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And it was for them not a journey or a pilgrimage to purify themselves. They came just to be with Parikshit Maharaj in his, you know, moment, which is going to transpire, not transpired yet. So, these great sages, they did not need any purification, because they had the ability to purify even the river Ganges. That was the, you know, stature of some of these sages, very, very great sages. So, Narottam Das Thakur sings in a very beautiful song, Gangar parash hoile paschate pavan darshane pavitra koro ye tomara gun. So Narottam Das Thakur sings, Gangar parash hoile paschate pavan darshane pavitra koro ye tomara gun. So these great sages, stalwart sages who have come from different corners of the universe, had the ability to purify simply by their darshan, by giving their darshan. So such was the stature of the sages. So they have not come for purifying themselves. Prabhupada makes it very clear. They have come there, you know, to be with the Parikshit Maharaj in his moment of glory, which is yet going to transpire. It will come in future verses. So they have come for that. So the Saptarishis of the current Manvantar, their names, some of the names are there, like Atri, Bharadwaj, Gautam, Kashyap, Vasishtha, Vishwamit, all these people are there in the part of the gathering. Besides, Parashar, Angira, Parshuram, Bhrugu, Devala, their names are also there. And to top it all, Devarshi Narad, Narad Muni is there. So Devarshi Narad, so referred to as great personality Narad, Bhagwan Narad. So he is the master, he is the spiritual master of Valmiki, Dhruv, Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Prachetas, Mrugari, etc. So every one of these names which we have read, and some names are not there perhaps, so these are all towering personalities, and I am too puny a person even to attempt to glorify such personalities. So it is simply not possible to cover within the time the glories of everyone, so I am going to be limited in my approach. So what is really important is that all these great personalities, they have come to the shore of Ganges eventually to hear from the lotus lips of Shukdev Goswami, just a teenager. So in the audience we have Shukdev Goswami's father Vedvyas, we have his father Parashar Muni, the author of Vishnu Puran. Such great personalities, they are all there, and they all have gathered there to hear from the lotus lips of Shukdev Goswami, who is yet to make his appearance. He will make it later on. Please keep coming, you will hear about them. So what is important is that these great souls have come to hear from Shukdev Goswami. So Srila Sut Goswami, Shukdev Goswami, he was also in the audience, and who later on transmitted the knowledge to the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Muni, who is son of Bhrigu. So great lineage. So Suta Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, side, he says, Nimnaganam yatha ganga, devanam achyuto yatha, Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu, puranam idam tatha. He says that, Nimnaganam yatha ganga. He says that, just as Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, the supreme among the devotees, and is supreme among the all the demigods, and Lord Shambhu, Shiva, is the greatest Vaishnava, so Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. So Shukdev Goswami instructs Parikshit Maharaj later on, that verse will come, it's not yet to come, says, Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti eka mahan guna kirtanadeva krishnasya muktasanga param rajayat. So, my dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of fault, there is still one good quality about this particular age. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Simply by chanting this name, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. So this is the assurance which we get from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is going to be spoken by Shukdev Goswami. So we can all wait in anticipation of hearing. So in the same Bhagavatam also says, Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya, bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtaki. So all these wonderful verses tell us or highlight the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam. From the galaxy of exalted personalities named by Srila Prabhupada in his purport, in today's discussion time that I have at my disposal, I would like to briefly talk about great sages, great sage Maitreya Rishi. Then I'll talk about Devarshi Narad. Devarshi Narad is important from today's perspective, also because it is the disappearance day of Srivas Thakur, and Srivas Thakur was none other than Narad Muni himself. So Narad Muni will cover in some more detail. So this is it. So first of all, we'll talk a little bit about Maitreya Rishi. Now, Maitreya Rishi, all of you who have read the Srimad Bhagavatam, he is one of the great personalities who influenced Mahatma Vidur. So when Mahatma Vidur was wandering, at that point in time, he meets the great devotee of Krishna, Uddhava. And when he meets Uddhava, he asks him, he requests him, he says that, I want to know about science of Krishna, I want to hear Krishna Katha from you. So please instruct me. So at that time, Uddhava, being relatively young, he feels that Mahatma Vidur is such a great personality, such a senior person, I should not be the one to instruct him. So he says that, please take instructions from, you know, Maitreya Rishi. And Maitreya Rishi incidentally happened to be there during the concluding pastimes of Sri Krishna. So we therefore find that with Mahatma Vidur taking instructions from Maitreya Rishi. And Maitreya Rishi, he is very much there in the third and fourth canto, elsewhere also in Srimad Bhagavatam. And his discussions with Mahatma Vidur form the core of, you know, some important subject matters, which we won't go into, but there is a lot of discussion between the two of them. They are wonderful discussions. You have to peruse the third and fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam to understand what is Maitreya's contribution. Who was Maitreya Rishi? Maitreya Rishi was actually mentored, so to say, by Vedvyas himself. So Vedvyas, you know, sent, there are many stories pertaining to that which we won't go into. So Vedvyas, he sent this Rishi to none other than his own father, Parashar Muni. He sent him to Parashar Muni to, you know, train him in spiritual subject matters. So we find that this great personality, you know, he was the disciple of Parashar Muni, and one of the most outstanding disciples of Parashar Muni. So Maitreya Muni is a great personality, and he's the most competent person to preach to somebody like Mahatma Vidur, whose stature itself is so great. He was one of the incarnations of Amaraj. So we have all great personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam. Just hearing their names purifies us. That is the situation. So we find it is described that before the Mahabharata war, Maitreya Rishi once, one of the stories, Maitreya Rishi once went to meet Duryodhan, Dhritarashtra Duryodhan, and he told him that, you please part with the kingdom that belongs to the Pandavas. You give it back to them. That will be good for you and good for the entire world. So part with it. And even as Maitreya Rishi was talking to Duryodhan, Duryodhan, you know, was playing drum on his knee. On his, not knee, what they call, thigh. On the thigh, you know, he was, you know, drumming, you know, and, you know, laughing and all that. In other words, he completely disrespected Maitreya Muni, even as, you know, he was telling him some rules of dharma, what dharma he should follow. He completely bypassed him. And it is said that Maitreya Rishi, normally a very silent person, he cursed Duryodhan. He said that you were thai, on which, you know, you were, you know, stroking and playing, you know, that thai will be broken during the war by Bhima. And that is how you know, Duryodhan's thigh came to be broken during the war. There's great description about it elsewhere in Mahabharata and other texts. So this is how Maitreya Rishi also sort of played a role in the Mahabharata war. We then come to Narad Muni. So Narada stands for Narayanam Dadati Iti Narada. So Narada, that is Narada. So, Devarshi Narad, he is known for awarding devotion to Krishna Narayan. And Narad Muni is such an exalted person that he is present in virtually all pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. He is there. He played a role in Krishna Leela, he played a role in Ramayana, you name it, and he did it. What was the role in Ramayana? He was the spiritual master of Valmiki Muni, who wrote the Ramayana. So what a contribution. So Valmiki was, his name was Ratnakar. He was a highway robber, and he was so cruel, and his tongue, you know, was so much, you know, infested with cruel perceptions, that it is said that when Narad Muni asked Valmiki, you know, to pronounce the word Rama, he was not able to do it. So eventually the intelligent personality that Narad Muni is, he told him, he told that Ratnakar, you chant, you know, Mara, 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 Mara. And that way, you know, he came to chant, and eventually he became Valmiki, the author of Ramayana. Each pastime is great. We don't have time to go into that. Then we have another great pastime of Narad Muni. That pastime I would like to note simply because it is about Murugari. I would like to quote that. Murugari was a very cruel hunter. And he was so cruel that he would half kill animals, not completely kill. If you kill an animal completely, at least you know that he has reached a particular, but he would kill, half kill them. And he would see them, you know, whining and, you know, being completely, you know, restless, because they are half dead, not fully dead. Fully dead, at least we are free from the existence, but here, you know, half dead. So he was so cruel. So one day Narad Muni happens to come to the forest, and when he sees, you know, many animals, you know, on the road, on the path, which are half dead. He is not able to understand. The compassionate heart of Narad Muni, you know, melts. He says that, who is this person who has half killed these animals? What kind of a personality is this? So he goes there, and he finds that this person, you know, Murugari, is standing there, you know, with his bow and his arrows. And he says, I did it. Maine kiya. So at that time, Narad Muni says that, why don't you, you know, kill them completely, so at least they are free. He says, no, I get great joy, you know, in seeing them, you know, whine and, you know, so I get great joy. And he said, this is happening in parampara. My father did it, my grandfather also did the same thing. So it was happening in parampara. At that time, Narad Muni, the compassionate preacher that is, he tells him that, If seeing, you know, animals, you know, wincing with pain gives you pleasure, do you want to know what is going to happen to you when you die? He says, no, I don't know. I never thought about it. And then Narad Muni very compassionately gives him a preview of what is likely to happen to him, you know, after he dies. And when he sees that preview, you know, he becomes completely overwhelmed, and he surrenders to Narad Muni. He says, please tell me what I have to do. So Narad Muni tells him, first thing that you do is, you know, break this bow. He says, if I break the bow, then what is going to happen to me? You know, I kill animals and I sell their skins, and that's how I make a living. What is going to happen to my family? Narad Muni says, don't worry about all these things. Now that you know you have surrendered to me, you follow my instructions. And my instructions are that you break this bow, you construct a small hut, build a Tulsi Vrindavan, you know, opposite that, and chant, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You chant it. And it says, what about my living? What will happen? You have talked about a hut, roti. What about roti? And kapda. He says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And as it turns out, Murugari very faithfully follows the instructions of his Guru Maharaj, Narad Muni. And then he's completely transformed. From a cruel hunter, he becomes a very, very, very sattvic personality. This is the healing touch of Narad Muni, Devarshi Narad. He becomes a complete transformation. And after some years, it is described, the long story, which incidentally Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also liked to narrate and hear. So he one day, you know, Narad Muni with his friend Parvat Muni, both of them happened to pass by the forest. And from a distance, you know, this Murugari, He sees his guru, Narad Muni, in the forest. And when he sees him, he's so thrilled and so excited, I want to meet my guru, so he starts running. But as he's running, he's not running straight, he's going zigzag, zigzag, jumping sometimes. So anyway, finally he reaches. So Narad Muni and Parvat Muni, who have come with him, they ask him, what is the reason? Why to come straight? He says that, you know, on the path, you know, I saw many ants. I was afraid that I would trample over the ants and, you know, they would get killed. Now, this is the same Rugari who got joy, you know, in seeing animals half dead. So, this is the healing touch of Devarshi Narada, such a great personality. One can talk, you know, for a long time about Narad Muni. Then, touch briefly, Narad Muni is the one who, you know, preached to Prahlad Maharaj while he was in the womb of his mother Kayadu. He preached to him while he was in the womb of mother. Whatever Navavida Bhakti that Prahlad Maharaj propounded later on was all originating from Narad Muni. So he taught to him in Kayadu's, Kayadu was being killed by Indra and other demigods. But Narad Muni did not allow that to happen because he knew that in her womb is, you know, a great devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord. So he escorted her to his, you know, residence and he looked after her, Narad Muni. And that's how eventually Prahlad Maharaj was born. So Prahlad Maharaj is a disciple of Narad Muni and Prahlad Maharaj is the one who has given us Navavidha Bhakti. Ravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pada Sevana Dasare Pujana Sakijana Atma Nivedana. He is the one who has given. That is Narad Muni. Navavidha Bhakti. He preached to Dhruva Maharaj, the great Dhruva Maharaj, who had actually, you know, come out. He was humiliated and insulted by Suruchi, one of the wives of Uttanapad. And Dhruva comes to the forest all alone, completely young boy. He has been instructed to go and look for Narayan, you know, by his mother, Suniti. So he comes there and, you know, He meets Devarshi Narada. Devarshi Narada, you know, meets him. He says, my dear boy, why have you come here? This is the age where you have to be playing. Why have you come here? He says, no, I have come to seek Narayan. So he says, Narayan, you are a young man. Go home and, you know, enjoy. Your father must have not given you his lap to sit on. That is a temporary thing. He will give you a lot of affection. You go back. But he says, no. He is very businesslike with Narad Muni. He says that, Devarshi Narada, if you want to tell me the way to reach the Supreme Lord, you please tell me. Otherwise, you know, I am walking out. Seeing his determination, you know, Narad Muni is impressed and then he gives him, you know, the way, you know, to attain Narayan. Beautiful story. Dhruva's story is Dhruva and Prahlad Maharaj's pastimes are simply fascinating. And it is described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to hear this pastime every day of his life. He used to hear, you know, story of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj every day of his life. To such an extent, you know, he narrated by Gadadhar. And both of them, you know, would wet the Srimad Bhagavatam with their tears. Such was their ecstasy. Kept on. So this is Dhruva Maharaj. And he is also the preacher. He preached to Prachetas, so many others. So we won't go into all the details. So these are some of the personalities whom Narad Muni preached to. A great compassionate personality. He is the one who actually precipitated the arrival of Sri Krishna. Because he goes to Kamsa with a lotus and Kamsa has set free the first child, you know, born. But he says that, no, you are committing a mistake. Look at this lotus. Do you know which is the first one in this? He says, no, I don't know. So he gets bewildered. So gets a hint. So he starts killing. So that way he precipitates the arrival of Sri Krishna. Similarly, he plays a big role as, you know, Srivas Thakur. We'll come to that a little later on. So this is Narad Muni. There are other great personalities in the purport which Srila Prabhupada has given. Each one an exalted personality about whom one can talk. But we will switch to Srivas Thakur today because it is his Tirobhav Divas. It is his disappearance day. And Srivas Thakur is indeed a great, great personality.
So,
he is the member of the Panchatattva. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. This is the Panchatattva we chant. And there is a verse. Panchatattva eka vastu konu nahi bhed lilalas aswadite vivida vishes. Just as Srimati Radharani and Shri Krishna are, you know, together giving us bhaktivasa, similarly, these panchatattva, they are all non-different from one another, but they are there to give us bhakti. So we are advised that when we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we have a proclivity for committing offenses. So we are told that you chant this Panchatattva mantra, you know, and then you'll be saved from some of the offenses. So we chant this. So this is part. So our Srivas Thakur is one of the persons who appeared in a village called Kumar Hatta. He was one of the sons of Haladhar Pandit. He had five children. The eldest was a daughter named Nalini. Then we had Srivas Thakur, Sriram Thakur, Sripati Thakur, Srinidhi Thakur. So these were the five brothers. So all great devotees of the Supreme Lord. So Srivas Thakur is an incarnation of Narad Muni. So Sriram Thakur is an incarnation of Parvat Muni, about whom we talked some time back. So that is how it is. They were friends in earlier, because now they became brothers in this life. So all the brothers were great devotees and completely sold out to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Completely sold out. So Srivas Thakur, he would spend lot of his time with Advaita Acharya, who is an incarnation of Vishnu, Sadashiv also. They would sometimes, you know, it is described that Mahaprabhu's pastime was, you know, when Mahaprabhu adventured in this world, Advaita Acharya was already 60 years old and Srivas Thakur was also in the same range. So they were both very, very senior to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at that time, you know, his name, he was all the time, you know, trying to, when Chaitanya was young, Nimai, as Nimai Pandit, he was a scholarly personality, very, very apparently proud of his knowledge, and he would try to involve. There's a lot of discussion about this, we have no time for going into details, but he would frequently, you know, encounter Srivas Thakur and, you know, show off his, you know, panditya to Srivas Thakur. But Srivas Thakur was not really impressed with his panditya. He wanted him to chant, you know, and to take to the process of bhakti. And Nimai Pandit was most reluctant to take. Those whom he met, you know, on the way, you know, they would all tell him, you are such a brilliant personality. If you take to bhakti, you know, the whole world will be liberated. But he was very adamant, he would not take to it. And then one day, Srivas Thakur meets him and he tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time Nimai Pandit, that why don't you take to bhakti? Do you think that, you know, your panditya, you know, your scholarship, it may help you to win debates and defeat some people and give you some intellectual, you know, pleasure? But this is not going to liberate you from cycle of birth and death. If you want to be free from cycle of birth and death, take to the path of bhakti. Take up bhakti. So at that time it is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time Nimai Pandit, he responded, he said that what you say is right. Someday, you know, I'll do it. But not now, I'm not doing it. So that way it went on. And eventually, Nimai Pandit did take it on. He went to Gaya. He went to Gaya, you know, ostensibly to perform some, you know, some rituals for his father and others, brother. But he went there, and then there he met Ishwar Puri. And Ishwar Puri is the spiritual master. So when he met him there, he was a totally transformed personality. He was just waiting for that encounter to take place, and that encounter did take place. And he came back to, you know, Navadvip, a completely transformed and a completely changed personality, who knew, who kept on, you know, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. He kept on chanting that holy name. And he kept on, you know, saying this only. In fact, he lost his, you know, he was a great teacher, number one teacher in Navadvip, but he was slowly, you know, withdrawing from that. So, great teacher. So, Srivas Thakur and Advaita Acharya, both of them very, very senior, as I mentioned. Advaita Acharya was 60 years old when he was born. So, but they took to him, but they worshipped him as the Supreme Lord. So, in Srivas Thakur, he found a great ally who, you know, was willing to take the path further. So, the path of bhakti was completely, you know, brought to a high level in Navadvip, thanks to the efforts of Srivas Thakur. Now, Srivas Thakur had a house which was fairly big. It is referred to as Srivas Angan. And Srivas Angan was the place where all the bhakti, you know, cult was born, you know. So, we find that in Srivas Angan, there used to be there spacious rooms, and Lord Chaitanya, at that time Nimai Pandit, he said that during the daytime, you know, we chant, you know, but why should we waste night time? You know? Night time also, you know, is so many hours wasted. So we should utilize every moment of the day and night. And so therefore, there were, you know, wonderful kirtans. And there are so many pastimes related to Lord Chaitanya's, you know, functioning in the Srivas Angan. There are many, 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 many pastimes. So a few I will just narrate, since there is not so much time left. So I'll just like to narrate one particular pastime which really appeals to me very much. There are many which I could talk about, but one pastime I would like to narrate is that which happened before, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advented. Now, Srivas Thakur, he was very, very attracted by Srimad Bhagavatam, and he liked to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And to him, every word of Srimad Bhagavatam was Krishna. Everyone. So he would always go into, you know, samadhi hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So at that point in time, Srimad Bhagavatam classes, lectures were being done by a devotee called Devanand Pandit. Devanand Pandit would regularly speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Every day he would give. And he was a forceful orator, speaker, very great scholar. So he would give classes and he attracted huge crowds. And this was before advent of Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was before his advent. So he went on. So at that point in time, Srivas Thakur would attend Devanand Pandit's lectures. And when he would attend Devanand Pandit's lecture, he would, as soon as, you know, he would hear some words or some verses, Srivas Thakur would go into ecstasy. And when he went into ecstasy, he did not know what he was saying. So he would blurt out, you know, he would come out with some exclamations. And there was the other audience, you know, like, you know, an audience sitting there. So they felt disturbed. So some of the students of Devanand Pandit, they were getting irritated by Srivas Thakur. Whereas Srivas Thakur very innocently was, you know, spontaneously reacting to whatever he heard. Because to him, every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. What could he was? He couldn't help it. So it went on like that. So he, at that time, one day they decided that enough is enough. So they bodily lifted Srivas Thakur and just threw him out of the audience. They went back and threw him out. So that was a... But Srivas Thakur was not bothered. He was always in ecstasy. He was always thinking of Krishna. He was not really affected by that. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was yet to make his advent. When he advented, years later,
He remembered. He once came to Devanand Pandit's, you know, gathering. He came there. And when he came there, at that time, he addressed Devanand Pandit. He said, "You think that, you know, giving lectures, you know, showing off your panditya, intelligence to the audience, you think that is the real goal of life? You insulted a pure devotee of the Lord like Srivas Pandit. And because of that apradh, you will never ever get the nectar that you from Srimad Bhagavatam. You will be able to speak, give big classes, you know, you will be, you can, you know, take credit for giving classes and engaging people for a long time, but you will never ever experience the nectar. So what you did is unpardonable. Srivas Thakur, every word in Srimad Bhagavatam was, you know, non-different from Krishna. So for him it was great. That is how, you know, he reacted when he heard your lectures. Though they were full of scholarship and not, you know, bhakti. So he was influenced favorably by your lectures. But how you treated him? A pure devotee. You did not interfere with the students when they lifted him and put him out. You did nothing. So you'll never have ever have bhakti. So you can imagine the impact that chastisement had on Devanand Pandit. He was very, very morose and very, very sad. And the situation went on, and the pastime is pretty long, so it goes on that he continued to give his classes, he was giving it, but there was Shabda Panditya, but there was no rasa. You are not experiencing any ecstasy while giving your class. So what he did was that he was feeling the absence of rasa, but there was nothing that he could do about it because he was not just getting it. So it so happened one day that Vakreshwar Pandit, one of great disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vakreshwar Pandit was the personality who would, you know, dance during Ratha Yatra continuously for hours on together, always in ecstasy. So one day it so happened that Vakreshwar Pandit happened to come to the place where Devanand Pandit used to give his classes. He came there. At that time, when Vakreshwar Pandit would dance and, you know, sing, he would enthrall the audience. And the audience, you know, people would just surge around him. So at that time, Devanand Pandit, you know, he prevented the people, you know, from disturbing him. So that was the seva he started doing for Vakreshwar Pandit. So because of that seva, Vakreshwar Pandit could do his service of, you know, singing and dancing. He could do it for the pleasure of all the devotees. So it went on very nicely and everybody was thrilled that things are happening. So that service he did number of times, and because he rendered that service to Vakreshwar Pandit, one of the disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased with Devanand Pandit, and eventually he got, you know, Krishna Prem from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So goes to prove that we should use our intellect while reading Srimad Bhagavatam, but we should not have an intellectual approach, you know, and show that, you know, I have understood Srimad Bhagavatam as nobody else has. That kind of an attitude will not help. So we have to do it with submissive attitude. We have to surrender to the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to surrender to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Surrender. So then, you know, Bhagavatam will manifest its true import. Otherwise, words will be words. They will be grammatically correct, intellectually satisfying, but never ever give us the real pleasure which we ought to experience while we read Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is how one of the pastimes of Srivas Thakur. Now, Srivas Thakur, one more pastime I will say. How much time do I have? Anybody knows? Do I have 5 minutes? Anyway, so nobody here today because everybody is, I think, bound to GV. So, all glories to them. So, one more pastime I would like to narrate is that Srivas Angan was the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance every day, and whole night he would dance, and it would give lot of pleasure to many devotees. Of course, it would irk others. They would get fed up all day, you know, they are dancing and kirtan. So one day as he was dancing, it so turned out that Srivas Thakur, one of the sons, he was suffering from high fever. He passed away. While Lord Chaitanya is dancing in the Angan, in the interior, the death of Srivas's son took place. And there were his relatives, women, etc., who started, you know, wailing and, you know, whining, you know, crying. In a big way, they were doing it. And Srivas Thakur, it was his house, so he went inside. And when he came to see, to know that his son had passed away, he also, of course, became very morose, very unhappy, very, very, very sad. But he did not want that there should be even an iota of disturbance to Lord Chaitanya while he was, you know, inside. So all the ladies who were wailing, you know, usually people cry and all that. So he told them, if stop crying, the Lord of the universe, you know, he's outside. He's dancing and he's doing kirtan in ecstatic way. I do not want that your wailing, you know, your crying should in any way influence him. So stop this at once. And if you don't stop, what I will do is I will tie a big stone around my neck and jump into the Ganges. He threatened them. That was his surrender to Lord Chaitanya. So that was surrender. So he threatened them that way. And as it turned out that as Gaurahari was dancing, you know, outside Nangan, somehow or the other he stopped one in between. He said that, I don't know, somehow or the other I'm not feeling very joyous while doing this kirtan. Has something happened? Nobody said anything. Nobody dared to part with the news. Nobody said anything. And then after some time, again he stopped. He said, now today I am not inclined to, you know, do kirtan. Something is different. At that time, you know, one of the devotees there said that Srivas Thakur has lost his son today. He died. His dead body is inside. And he did not want that you should be in any way disturbed in your, you know, lila. That is why we did not tell you. So at that time, what to do? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he cried, you know, his tears started flowing from his eyes. He said, how glorious are my devotees, you know. How glorious is Srivas Thakur. That, you know, when his own son has parted, he's still, you know, not wanting to interrupt my passing. What a great personality is he. I don't know how I can ever leave their association. So he was giving a hint that sooner or later he is going to take sannyas. So this way, this is another pastime which I thought I would share with all of you. So thank you all very much for your kind attention. Thank you very much. Srivas Thakur Mahashay ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.